WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Scepter Records was started in an unlikely way by a housewife from New Jersey. Using a group of her daughter's high school friends for her first recording, she built Scepter Records into a power to be reckoned with in just a few years. Over 60 singles recorded for Scepter were recently compiled on a box set. Our rock historian, Ed Ward, has the story of Scepter Records.
There's no reason on earth why Scepter Records should have been a success. It came onto the scene at a time when the day of the independent record label was almost over. It was run by a middle-aged Jewish housewife from New Jersey with no experience, and its first record was a flop. But the Scepter Records story is one of pure dumb luck and a shrewd ear for talent, both the property of Mrs. Florence Greenberg. Scepter started in 1958 when Mary Jane Greenberg brought a group of her friends at Passaic High School to her mother's attention. They sang so well, all they really needed was a break and a new name. Mrs. Greenberg changed the Picuellos to the Shirelles and recorded I Met Him on a Sunday for her Tiara label. Decca quickly bought the rights to the record and had sort of a semi-hit with it, then gave the rights to the group back to Mrs. Greenberg, telling her they were a one-shot group. She disagreed, so she rented some space in a Manhattan office building, hung the name Scepter Records on the door, and, with her blind son Stanley co-producing, cut another Shirelles record.
This is dedicated to the one I love.
Dedicated to the One I Love scraped the bottom of the charts and died, but Mrs. Greenberg was learning. She hired a legendary promotion man, Wally Roker, to help promote her records, and one day he introduced her to Luther Dixon, a young arranger and producer who had put Scepter on the map. Dixon was pure gold. First, he took on the Shirelles. Then, one night at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, Dixon heard Chuck Jackson and brought him in, using the same arranger he'd used with the Shirelles, Carole King.
I still love you, just like I did before. But before you smile and walk through the door, darling, I don't wanna cry. No, darling, no more.
And then a group from New Jersey that had been around forever but hadn't had a hit yet. By the time 1962 was over, Scepter was awash in hit records. It had a subsidiary label called Wand that was doing just as well, and young songwriters like Burt Bacharach and Hal David were coming to them with material.
I'm so used to doing everything with you, planning everything for two, and now that we're through,
I just don't know what to do with my time.
Tommy Hunt didn't have a hit with that one, so they came back with another on a demo record. Mrs. Greenberg didn't have much use for the song, Make It Easy on Yourself, but she flipped for the girl who was singing it, a former gospel singer who was doing backup singing with her sister and cousin. So Bachrach and David produced a record with her. Dionne Warwick was the harbinger of the future for Scepter Records, and in many ways, a perfect artist for the Kennedy Johnson era, a black artist edging the pop mainstream. But the money to pay for those increasingly expensive recording sessions came from an inexpensive leased record from Washington State, which went on to sell 20 million copies worldwide. Scepter was about to turn a very important corner, and I'll get to that in part two.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle, part two of his Scepter record story tomorrow.